Good afternoon, everybody. This is Joel Whitaker, the editor of Cane's Beverage News Daily. And today we have with us Jim Treziess, who is the president of Wine America and who for a number of years was president of the New York State Wine and Grape Foundation, and John Dunham, the economist from New York, both of whom were introducing today a new, I believe it's the first time ever, economic study of the entire American wine industry. So, Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about the study and why you ordered it and the top lines, and we'll let John jump in. John is joining us, I believe, from a airport club, so if you hear people giggling in the background, you know that they're giggling over hopefully one of our beverages, not over the economic data. So, Jim, go right ahead.
And I'm at a different airport club, so there you go. He's in Delta, I'm an American. Anyway, we both flew down here today for this into D.C. Anyhow, yeah. So basically, really quickly, to explain, Wine America is the national organization of American wineries based in Washington, D.C. We have two terrific vice presidents, Tara Good, Michael Kaiser, and a lobbying firm, Myers & Associates, to look out for the interests of the American wine industry. And one of the things that has been missing for an awful long time has been an assessment of the total economic impact that the American wine industry has in the United States. And it's really important because we are always asking public officials to improve our business climate by enacting enlightened legislation, and they certainly listen to us, but it helps them to have justification and helps us to be able to say, if you do this, we're going to be able to contribute more to the economy. And then they said, well, what do you contribute now? And we said, well, a lot, but we didn't have any numbers. So we decided to retain John Dunham and his colleagues at John Dunham Associates to do a formal economic impact study of the total benefits that the American wine industry gives to the economy. And the bottom line is that it comes to $219.9 billion, or if you want to round up, it's $220 billion overall. And John can explain how the economics work in terms of direct, indirect, and induced effects, but $220 billion is what we contribute to the economy. The other thing that's unique about this study is that not only does it have the numbers for the national economy, but every single state, all 50 states that make wine, plus the District of Columbia, which now has a winery as well. And that information is all on the Wine America website, wineamerica.org, under a new section called Economic Impact, and it is searchable down to a very detailed level. So it's really good information. Also, some of the other numbers that came out of the study, there are now more than 10,000 wineries in the United States. Again, all 50 states have wineries. There are about 670,000 acres of vineyards, 43 million tourist visits, huge amount of taxes, federal and state taxes that the industry generates, and much more. So it is, wine is the ultimate value-added product, and the wine industry is truly an economic engine on the state level and on the national level as well.
Good. John, talk to us a little bit about jobs, because the current administration is supposed to be very focused on jobs. So how many jobs does the industry support? How many jobs directly, and then how many jobs in the ancillary things, which I guess includes people like myself who are writers and hang on by our fingernails to the industry. So,
every industry is actually really broad. There's a lot more that goes into making and selling wine than just wineries themselves. They provide about 65,000 jobs across the country. But in addition, there are independent vineyards that grow grapes. There are wine wholesalers located literally in every state of the country. There are, and those wholesalers provide about 42,000 jobs just in wholesaling wine. Retailers provide hundreds of thousands of jobs, about 658,000 jobs that are solely dedicated to selling wine or retail. So if you take a package store, for example, that sells, say, beer, wine, and spirits, and they sell a third, a third, and a third, and they employ 10 people, we're only counting, you know, three and a third of those people in this study. So 658,000 people just selling wine. Folks like Jim and other associations promoting the sale of wine, 700 people, research and education, and I'm not talking about, you know, going to a wine tasting like I'm going to do tonight, actually, but, you know, real hard research and education on what's the right word, Jim? Vinification.
Viticulture and enology. Yeah.
Okay, great. You got me on that one. About 900 people there. And then there's another important sector that is included in the study, and that's wine-based tourism. And this isn't just, you know, people working in wineries, you know, that are handling tourists coming to tasting rooms. Those folks are included in the winery themselves. But people working at hotels, restaurants, working in travel and other ancillary businesses that are providing services to tourists that are going to wineries, that's about another 188,000 jobs. So totally directly in the industry, we're talking about almost a million jobs, 998,500 jobs. And in addition to this, the industry spreads across the entire country because it purchases goods and services from literally every other sector. It purchases wood for barrels. It purchases glass. It purchases advertising services, legal services, technological services. Across the entire spectrum, the industry is providing about 290,000 jobs, 289,000 jobs to folks that are supplying goods and services to the, you know, the core industry, the direct industry. And the impact of the wine industry stands well beyond that, because all of those people working in the direct and supply industries are going out and spending their wages in the local community. That's what we all do. They're going out and, you know, taking a trip or going to a movie theater or buying a new car, buying clothes. All of these impacts also result from the wine business. Take an example of where a factory is closed down and all of the stores around that factory, all of the restaurants and gas stations around that factory have gone out of business. This multiplier effect, this broadening of the economic impact is a real effect. And across the entire country, that's providing another 450,000 jobs. So in total, about 1.7 million jobs are totally dependent on the wine industry.
In so many words, it sounds to me, and my math is really bad, which is why I'm not an economist, but one of the many reasons, but it sounds to me like for every wine job, more or less direct wine job, there's another job that's in this ancillary empire, if you will. Does that seem right to you?
Yeah, and again, this is a broad definition of the wine industry, right? We're including all three tiers. We're including tourism. For every job in a winery, if you look at it that way, there's about, what, let me do my math real fast. This is almost three jobs. No, almost 30 jobs outside of the wine industry. But it's a very, very broad industry.
So it really helps America grow and helps the economy in a very significant way. And I guess it's a really good thing that every state now has wineries, because it spreads this process all across the country.
Yeah,
it really is. I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
No, and again, it's not just where the wineries are located. It's where the bottle manufacturers are located. It's where the filings manufacturers are located. The folks involved in trucking are located. It's right. Really broad. It's in every community.
Now, good. Now, I know that California is the largest wine-producing state. I'm tempted to say by far, but I'm going to let you guys say that. But number two is what? New York? And of course, Jim spent, what, 30 years in the New York Wine and Grape Foundation, Jim? How long were you there?
Yeah, 35 altogether.
35 altogether.
So, yep, and I saw it grow a lot, although... So California, to answer your question, California is about 85% of the total U.S. grape and wine industry. So the other 49 states are 15%. Number two by far is Washington State now. They have grown tremendously, both in vineyard acreage, wine production. Oregon is number three. New York is number four. And those really are the top four. And then after that, there's somewhat of a drop-off into other states like Virginia, Texas, and Ohio. But the nice thing, Joel, is that the wine industry is growing in every single state. Every year, there are new wineries popping up, and there's no failures. In other words, it's not like the restaurant industry where everybody wants to have a restaurant until they do and say, oops, this is a bad idea. You know, it's growing. And with every new winery, you have new investment, new jobs, new tours, new taxes. And the important thing also about the fact that it's now in all 50 states means that politically we are much stronger than we've ever been before. That means 100 senators have wineries in their states, 100 out of 100, and a lot of members of the House of Representatives. So now when we are trying to get legislation to enhance the business climate so the wine industry can grow, what we do, and this is exactly what Wine America does, is we activate our grassroots public policy advocacy network by getting the winery members in Nebraska and Florida and Ohio and New York, whatever, to contact our legislators and say, look, there's this bill that is, there's one, a big one right now called the Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act that would benefit not just wine, but also beer and spirits. And so we are having the individual wineries in these states contact their senators and members of the House to say, we need you to sign on to this bill. So as a result right now, for this bill, which would reduce excise taxes big time, for this bill right now, in the House, there are more than 260 co-sponsors. That means people who have put their name on the bill. In the Senate, we're at 50, so half of the Senate. And it's bipartisan, and rarely do you get that kind of cooperation these days, especially during this administration. But what it shows is that because of the breadth of our industry and because everybody loves wine, we have a lot more political clout than we used to and then that many other industries do.
Well, that's a really good thing, obviously. And the growth of the wine industry, I was on a trip up to Niagara Falls a couple of years ago. It was one of these, you know, press familiarization trips. And I went and visited some of the wineries. But what impressed me, or depressed me, if you want to put it another way, is the amount of former factory sites that are now vacant with maybe you see the slab on which it was built or something, but that's it. But at the same time, you've had this growth of the wine business up there. And, you know, it seems to me that that's sort of helping to absorb some of that economic loss from the factory business that you had when you started your career at New York State Wine and Grape.
Absolutely. And yeah, and the other thing, Joel, is that, you know, my vision is that we have a tale of two climates. In order to grow good grapes to make great wine, you have to have a good climate. That's not controllable. If we're lucky, nature will cooperate, but all we can do is react to it. The other climate is, in order to grow an industry, you have to have a good business climate. And business climates are shaped by decisions of policymakers like our legislators. So if we are smart as an industry, we will educate them about who we are, what we do, and especially how we benefit the local economies. And that's exactly what this study has all been all about. And now we have it for all 50 states and nationally as well. And getting back to New York, where, as you know, I spent 35 years, New York is a great example of how enlightened public policy can stimulate the growth of our industry. Andrew Cuomo, the governor since 2011, he has done wonders for the beverage alcohol industry, wine, beer, spirits, and cider. All of those sectors have grown exponentially because he's made a friendly business climate. And so what we're trying to do on a national level, and also for other states as well, is to follow that example and say, if you let us do business, we're going to do more business and we're going to pay more taxes and employ more people.
And do you have any, John, I guess this is a question for you. Have you done any projections of what the wine business might be like in 5 years, or was that outside this assignment?
That's outside this assignment. And honestly, we're not forecasters because then we're just going to be wrong all the time.
talk to my political press buddies who forecasted the last election for that case.
Right. I will say this. We work across all three, all three tiers of the industry, production, retail, wholesale. And we work for the wine industry, we work for the beer industry, and we work for the spirits industry. So we work broadly in this industry. And I have to say, as an economist, this is the kind of thing that you want to see. This is an industry that's extremely dynamic and extremely competitive. There are new entrants every day across all three of the product sectors. There are literally thousands and thousands of producers in the wine industry. There's no dominant producer in this industry. So this isn't an oligopoly like, automobiles where there's three or four or five producers that you can choose from, or Jim and I are sitting in the two airline lines with three choices out of DCA here, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is an industry with this tremendous choice, and wine in particular. I mean, choice between varietals, choice between the state of production, or frankly, the country of production, choice between style types. Right? It's just so broad, and this is the kind of thing you want to see. This is the kind of thing that generates economic activity. This is a manufacturing industry that generates tremendous economic activity and is going to continue to grow because it's so dynamic and so competitive.
Well, that's absolutely terrific. I know you guys both have planes to catch very soon, so let me wrap this by just asking if there's any one thing you would like us to focus on as we think about this study, aside from the sheer huge size of the wine industry, which is, as you say, it's the first time it's really been documented. But is there any one takeaway that each of you would like us to have?
I will feed you a couple numbers and then give you the answer to what you just asked about. First of all, in terms of taxes, the wine industry generates $31.3 billion in total taxes. Of that, $18.1 billion are federal, $13.2 billion are state. So we really support a lot of the local governments, state governments, federal governments as well. But the takeaway I would say, Joel, is that the wine industry is an economic engine, and that we mostly want people to enjoy the wonderful aroma and taste of our product. But as they're doing that, we hope that they will also thank us for providing jobs and investment and an incredible quality of life.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. Now, John, how about you? Any takeaways you would have us focus on?
I do a lot of these studies, and I think that the one thing that people really fail to mention is that when you're looking at an industry, like we're looking at a wine industry, it's not just wineries. It's everybody. It's your friends and neighbors that are working in restaurants or working in, that are the driving trucks or maybe working in a bottle manufacturing plant or even for a law firm. The wine industry touches all of these industries, and it's an important part of many, many of them. So it's not just, wineries sitting in Napa or sitting up in the Finger Lakes. It is broad in every community across the country.
Well, that's absolutely terrific. Jim Trezise and John Dunham, thank you so much for your time. Good travels, safe journey to you, and we hope to talk to you again soon, and hopefully you'll do another one of these studies within a few years, and it'll show even greater growth. Thank you so much, and have a very great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Joel. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.